ordinary meeting of council in the Old Vic in Canoundra. I'd like to start with an acknowledgement of country. I'd like to acknowledge the Wiradjuri people who are traditional custodians of land. I'd also like to pay respect to their people, both past and present, and extend that respect to other Aboriginal Australians who are present or who may be listening to the recording. The recording's on? Yeah. And on that recording, in accordance with CGW Code of Meeting Practice, this meeting will be audio recorded and will be uploaded to the council's website within 2 weeks after the meeting. Please ensure, by speaking at the council meeting, you agree to be audio recorded. Please ensure that if and when you speak at this meeting, that you ensure that you are respectful to others and use appropriate language at all times. So recordings are made of all council meetings and published within 2 weeks after the meeting. For a copy of the official public record, please refer to council business papers and minutes page on the website. Okay, moving on. Apologies. We have apologies from Councillor Nash and from Councillor Ewan.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I think you need to say something about the online.
Yeah. We also needed a resolution for Paul, Councillor Vesterby, to attend the meeting online.
I was about to do that. I was about to mention that Councillor Best is online and...
I move that we admit Councillor Best to participate in the meeting online.
That was Councillor Somerville, seconded by Councillor Cook. And all in favour?
Yep.
Aye. Aye. Yep. You're online there, Paul.
Thank you very much.
And thank you. So we have quorum, despite being down two members. Okay, confirmation of minutes from the previous meeting. Has everyone had a chance to read through the minutes? Does anyone wish to make comments?
Sorry, Mr. Chair, do we need a seconder, a proposer and a seconder for the leave of absence to be granted to Councillor Nash?
Yes.
Actually, you're right. You're right. Sorry. Anyone wishes to?
I'll move that.
It's moved by Councillor Cook. Seconded by Councillor Somerville. I'll put that. All in favour?
I think Michelle, you and I could be doing a lot of moving.
Well, I was just thinking that.
Councillor Best down there. I'll keep an eye out for Councillor Best's thumbs up. There he is. Oh, I can see him better there now. That's good. Okay. Item five is confirmation of the minutes. Has everyone had a chance to look through the minutes? I have a mover. Paul. Yes, Councillor Best, seconded by Councillor Somerville. Thank you. All in favour? Or any comments about the minutes?
No.
No. Okay, all in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's carried. Matters arising from previous meetings, previous minutes?
Well, I suppose we should note for the purpose of this meeting that one matter arising is the GM recruitment. Which we've discussed.
Which we have discussed.
In a workshop, but yep. For the public record, maybe you'd like to tell us what's happening on that process.
I'm happy to do so.
Yep.
Yep. For the recording, we are recruiting, in the process of recruiting a replacement for the general manager. That is proceeding apace. Advertisements have gone out. The advertisement cut-off date is, or the application cut-off date is the 1st of July. We're aiming to have interviews occurring on 19th of July and with the, we're hoping to be able to appoint the next general manager shortly thereafter. Certainly before the caretaker period, before the next election. So we'll have in place, hopefully, if all things go according to plan, a new general manager in place in August.
Thank you.
Great pleasure. Any other matters arising from the previous minutes?
I need to put that.
No, I think it's fine.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Any disclosures of interests?
No.
I've got nothing to declare. Councillor Best? No, nothing to declare. So I'll put that. All in favour? Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Public forum?
No, there's no public forum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do I need to put that?
No, I think
no.
It's fine.
Okay. Chairperson's minute? There's no chairperson's minute. I've discussed a few agenda items prior to this, but nothing that needs to be in the chairperson's minute. I will quickly, as I did last time, make mention of the fact that this is the last meeting, last board meeting of our current general manager, Gavin Rhodes. I'll be just talking about that at the very, very end of our meeting. So I'll leave it till the very, very end.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Okay, councillor representation. There are a number of things that I've probably written most of them down in the last. Anyone wishes to indicate what they've been, how they've been representing CGW over the last 2 months?
2 months?
Well, since the last board meeting.
Yeah. No, but I was just going to mention the ARIC committee. That's, we've been looking at the resumes of potential independent members.
Mm-hmm. And still, that process is still underway?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Thursday we have our meeting to get a shortlist.
Probably the best idea would be if you could just send Gavin, or now it would be Graham.
Right. Yeah.
Just your representation on behalf of CGW over the past 2 months since the last meeting, and that could go into the minutes.
So, Mr. Chair, just one that springs to mind is the JO board meeting in Lithgow.
Yeah, and there's on the 15th of May there was the workshop to talk about the replacement of the water treatment plant.
Oh,
indeed,
yeah.
Which
yeah.
A number of us attended.
Yeah.
There was the last week, was it last week? Or the week before?
Catchment management.
Catchment management planning with Water New South Wales. I think I've got too many to read through. So I'll have to send.
And there was also the Globula Water Security Project.
That's right.
As well, six.
Which is this report's following.
Yeah.
Yep.
Business paper.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Notices of motion.
No.
Are there any notices of motion?
No, I haven't seen any. I haven't received any.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Reports of staff. Item 12.1, General Manager reports Henry Lawson Festival Grenfell. Recommendation here is that the Council endorse the General Manager's actions in sponsoring the 2024 Henry Lawson Festival at Grenfell to the value of $500 and approve funding of the sponsorship from CTW's donations and contributions budget 23-24. Do I have a mover? Councillor Cook, Councillor Somervale. Any discussion or clarification from the General Manager?
Yeah, just for you, Mr. Chair, the councils are aware of this. What was raised at our last council meeting, we hadn't received notification or hadn't received a request for sponsorship. We received that following the last council meeting, which I sent out to the councillors for theirs to see if they would endorse the same value of sponsorship that we did last year. And all councillors were, all councillors supported that donation, so this is ratifying that donation that we've the CTW have contributed to the Henry Lawson Festival again. I understand it was another successful event, Councillor Best and Councillor Cook?
Yes.
Yep.
I was at the art gallery opening and we were mentioned.
Excellent.
That's very We didn't have a float this year. No, none of our sponsorship we're eligible to have a float, but maybe next year, if they have the same level of sponsorship, CTW could have a float.
Chairman can dress up as Henry Lawson.
That's it.
We'll leave that to the next chair.
Ask Ian what I told him, he could be us.
Yeah. We won't go there. But, no. So that was great that CTW was able to sponsor it. Such a fantastic event for the Grenfell area.
I did hear on the ABC radio they were interviewing someone from Gulgong, and they have a Henry Lawson something up in Gulgong.
Mm. Yep.
And but they claim their connection with Henry Lawson is that was where he was conceived.
Oh.
Okay. Where it all started. Yes.
It is.
I thought he actually lived there after.
It is true. That's what Gulgong claims.
Yep. Yeah. But I will actually add to what the general manager said in that we're ratifying it now, but we did. It was raised in the last meeting.
It was.
We just didn't have the paperwork.
We just didn't have the paperwork. Absolutely.
Yes, doubly qualify that we have spoken about this.
Indeed, we have. Yep. Indeed, we have, and agreed to it. And the value is, I think, is worth it. I mean, So I'll put that. All in favour?
Yep.
That's carried. Thank you. 4.2. The LG New South Wales Water Management Conference 2024 recommendation is that we note the report and secondly to endorse the actions of the General Manager in registering the Chairperson, Deputy Chairperson, Councillor Somervale, Interim General Manager and Director of Operations and Technical Services during the early bird registration period to attend the Local Government New South Wales Water Management Conference in Goulburn from the 23rd to 25th of July. So this again is just to endorse the actions of the General Manager in doing that. Do I have a mover? Councillor Somervale, Councillor Cook, any discussion?
I was just going to say, not a problem, but the interim GM, I suppose it's the water cup, I'm just thinking, is it worthwhile sending someone who's going to leave a few weeks later?
No, I didn't bring one.
Or is it
that's even a month if later, we have though, through you, Mr. Chair. Yeah. I believe it is. I think it is important for the General Manager to attend in representing Central Tablelands Water, which obviously the Interim General Manager will be, and just to continue on with those strong connections that CTW has got within the industry, as well as those obviously the other people. Well, the other participants at the water conference.
But he's been registered anyway.
We've registered for him,
yeah.
I was just thinking the incoming general manager, but we won't have...
We won't have a new one.
That's where my brain was going.
We may have made the decision. This is the 23rd to the 25th of July.
Yeah, it's only a week later.
Yes, but we're not expecting that there will be a... new person in that role.
What would be the expression of the general manager elect or the general manager presumptive or something like that?
Yeah, that's what I was just saying.
Well, actually, that's a good point. If we have someone that we're pretty confident is going to take up the position and we know it by then, I wonder whether or not we might invite them along as well.
Yeah, you could do that or the...
Or take the position of the interim. I think maybe we'll just leave it at that. If we do have someone who we've selected... Who's accepted, and we're just ticking some boxes.
Yeah, we could send
then him. He goes in lieu of the interim GM.
Yeah,
he or she, I should say.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that. It'll be throwing them in at the deep end.
But that's probably the best.
at a water conference,
through the chair. through the chair. Do you think the support? Because I'm not anticipating anyone with general manager experience to be part of the recruitment. Just the nature of the size of CTW, would it be better to have the interim GM as a support person for that new GM to at least align them with what happens during these conferences?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of experience from our interim GM, noting that interim GM has also been assisting Gavin in his development as well. So I'm just thinking the more people you'd have there under that GM role would be of an advantage for CTW.
Look, I think probably what's going to happen is we won't have a position, we won't have a, have anyone by then. It's only a few days later. I think the chances of there being an extra person, I think we can probably make the decision, you know,
closer to the time.
So just noted in this...
Noted here that we've considered the prospect of there being an extra person. And if that circumstance occurs, then we can negotiate with the interim general manager about whether or not he goes, they both go, or the other new person goes. I agree with you. My preference would have been to have them both there, to provide that that transfer of corporate knowledge.
Understanding.
Yes. Yeah.
And who knows, the successful applicant may be already going to the conference.
That's true. Yeah, they could already be there.
Water utility or another council.
And if they were appointed 2 or 3 or 4 weeks beforehand, they'd be going.
All right, is everyone happy with that?
Yep.
I'll put that.
All right.
All in favour?
Yes.
All right.
Aye.
All right, that's carried. Thank you. Moving on to 4.3, Local Government Remuneration Tribunal. The recommendation there is that the council endorses policy of paying the maximum fees to the chairperson and members of the Central Tablelands County Council as determined by the Local Government Remuneration Tribunal for Cattery County Council Water. And you'll see the table there that's, I think all of us have probably seen this from our GP councils. Gavin, would you like to...
Just read, Mr. Chair. Yes, this is just the annual Remuneration Tribunal announcement. There's been an increase of the fees of a rate of 3.75%, and that'll take effect from the 1st of July this year. I spoke with our finance director yesterday. This was covered in the operational plan. I think, Peter, we budgeted for around an increase of 4%, so we were covered.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
The councils are making a contribution to a budget saving.
Of 0.25%.
Every percent counts, Mr. Chairman.
Mostly the next council.
So going with council's normal policy ever since I've been here has been paying their councils the maximum fee for under the Remuneration Tribunal. So councils are happy to proceed that way.
Yep. So do I have a mover and seconder?
You'll be first.
Yep. I'll move.
Councillor Somerville.
Councillor Cook.
Any discussion? No discussion? Okay, I'll put that. All in favour?
Aye.
All right, that's carried. Thank you. We'll move to 12.4, the Bilobula Water Security Project Update. And the recommendation is that Council note the Bilobula Water Security Project Update report. Do I have a mover? Councillor Cook. Seconder, Councillor Best. Thank you. General Manager.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chair. As I said briefly just before, we had a meeting where we hosted the new project director and project manager of the Bilobula Water Security Project at CTW on the 7th and 8th of May. We also involved with that visit site visits out to Lake Rowlands as well as Carcor Dam, and we also took them out to our water treatment plant at Carcor to show them the new 12 meg reservoir, which was quite good and well received. They really appreciated the opportunity to see firsthand our assets, and I suppose in particular Lake Rowlands. And to see the potential there, which is what we always promote, obviously. So with that, we also had a meeting in the CTW office and went through a few things with their schedule and what the scope entails for their final business case. They're looking at completing the final business case, or it's expected to be completed over the next 2 years. So in early 2026, they're looking at wrapping it up to go to Treasury for consideration for construction funding. During the discussions, we spoke about the about governance and also about CTW, how important it is for CTW to be on the project steering committee and also the working groups. Initially, we weren't included in the, they call it a project control group. That's their steering group or steering committee. So I pose the question of is Water New South Wales on that project control group, of which they said yes. So I said, well, why aren't CTW, noting that we are a key stakeholder as well. We've got major assets, a major asset here with Lake Rollins, and we should be there front and centre within that committee. So they said they'd take that on board, and after that meeting, I followed up, and then they confirmed that the other week to say that they considered our request, and now we've been included, or the general manager's position has been included onto that project control group.
It's a bit telling that they didn't even think of that to start with, yeah.
We did make it quite clear. We went through also our strategic objectives with them, and they've got a copy of those. And they are really keen to get as much information from us as possible and work through with the final business.
For the third time?
Yeah. So it is positive and moving forward. The project manager is based in Brisbane and works for a company called, KBR, and also the project director is from DTU.
Sorry, the project manager?
Yep.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask. Is from Newcastle?
No, he's from Brisbane.
Oh, Brisbane.
Based in Brisbane and works.
He's a consultant outside person.
Yes.
Who does he work for?
KBR.
Yeah. Oh, KBR. Kellogg Brown and Root.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's done a lot of these sorts of business plans. He's got a lot of experience.
Oh, yeah.
And he spent a fair amount of time telling us all about his great experience. So he did certainly seem to be across this sort of...
Oh, yeah, no, that's they're pretty good. I've worked with them before, they're pretty good people. And the project manager?
The project director.
Director,
yeah,
the other one?
Yeah. He's a director within the department, within DC.
Oh, okay.
So her role is just just oversight of a lot of projects like this. So major projects. So she's a...
And what's her name?
Philippa Fague, F-A-G-U-E.
Not V. Yeah.
Noel, I don't know if you wanted to add it anymore.
The fact that we're on the project control group is important, because at least then we'll have more of a sight on the project and the money and where it's going. Whereas before we didn't. We had no eyesight on what was happening to the previous iteration of this project. So I think it's a bit of a coup to get to make sure that we're on the project control group, which will be your successor will end up being on that. The other, I think, really good piece of information we got from that meeting was that $7.7 million funding was extra money over and above what has been given to this project previously. So before there was $6 million to this project, some of which had been used, and now this is an extra $7.7 over the top. It's not just, whatever was left out of the $6 million has been, thrown in. It's 7.7 million extra, which is good.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, I think the other thing that came out of that meeting, which was important, well, certainly from my point of view, was the fact that they, Matt particularly, he said that he took a lot of interest in the financial side, the financial challenges we have. We also discussed the issues related to, Noel made this point quite strongly in terms of the pressure we have, council's coming on to with Dam Safety New South Wales, which works there as well. And he's made aware of some of the funding challenges we have with the project, and we would require a large degree of government support to proceed and so on. And he did person and work through those issues, which I thought was a significant step forward.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a really good point. Yeah.
Was there any talk about the big dam downstream?
Yes, yeah, it's one of the options.
Yep.
And
what sort of feeling did you get as to what?
Look, it's on the yeah. It's in the project. It's one of the options they're going to have to.
Mm.
I think the view I got from them was that they're going to look into that to make sure that if it's feasible, it will be maintained as an option, but it may be the first thing to drop off along the way.
Yeah,
really what I felt. There was a point, you know, I can't remember the exact date, where they're going to decide upon which is the most appropriate option.
Yes.
And then they'll focus on that from then on.
Yes.
The other issue with the big dam is that we can't afford it, as in depreciation.
Oh, no.
As in CTW and its consumer base is would not be able to afford it in that way.
Yeah,
the future depreciation.
Yeah.
So it would only be an option if that water was utilised by the whole of the Central Tablelands area, yeah. So Orange, particularly Orange.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I raise it, because it's it seems like such a different sort of project.
Yeah.
Size, reason for doing it, it's so different from the raising the dam wall on the pipeline. But to recover it in the same sort of feasibility, it almost needs a path of its own. And mm. one thing I could imagine is that if that's the first to drop off, they may well have a sort of weather eye to that possibility right down the track.
Mm.
And in designing the dam wall raising, for example, they'll do it in a way that will accommodate a bigger dam downstream
later on.
Not do something which will rule that out.
Mm. Well, the beauty of it is that current Lake Rollins would become the cofferdam for the big one downstream.
Yeah.
So you could happily build a whole new dam without having to worry about building a cofferdam to hold back the water.
Exactly.
You already have one there.
Yeah.
So that brings the costs down considerably of building a dam of that size. Look, it's still an option, and it may remain as an option, but I got the sense from Matt, the consultant, that they'll get to a point where they will reprioritise all the options, and if one or other, and probably this one, might just drop off, and then they'll focus all their energies on the other options.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Thank you again. And Tara?
Oh, one question. Yep. The project steering committee, control group, who's on that? I mean, obviously we've got one spot.
Yeah, Water New South Wales.
One spot.
On that, and also DTU representatives.
So it's just four people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And presumably also the consultant would be part of... Well, actually, no, perhaps he wouldn't be.
I don't think he's on there. I think the project director, and they may bring in other government departments as needed, so Treasury or Infrastructure New South Wales as well.
We've got a seat at the table.
That's
the most important.
Well, that's what the point of the question was. Is this a group that's going to have 20 people on
it?
No,
one will listen to us?
No. Or
it's just a really small, focused leaders of the project.
They've got very little time in which to do this and a lot of money to play with. That's got to pay for all of the construction design, all the design work of what is going to be the best option, the environmental impact assessments, cultural heritage assessments, social impact assessments, all those sort of things have all got to come out of that money. And that's all got to happen over the next 2 years. So it's a really tight time frame.
Yeah.
And it's got to be then reported in the appropriate method, appropriate way that the Treasury will accept.
Well,
both Treasuries. Yeah. So it's so that reporting mechanism. I don't even understand it. I'd have to say, but it's pretty rigorous. What they've got to be, what they have to present in a business case is an incredibly rigorous output. Yeah.
Will it involve an EIS? Yeah, it should. Well, that's a big component of it. Yeah.
And it'll depend on, obviously, how much work's already been done. There's been some studies already done previously with the environmental studies and whatnot. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so look, thanks for that, gentlemen. I'll put that. We note the that update report.
Aye.
Yep.
All in favour?
Yep.
Right. Yep. Thank you. It's carried. 12.5, Council Resolutions Update Report. The recommendation is that Council note the Council Resolutions Update Report to April 2024. Could I have a mover?
Aye.
Councillor Cook, Councillor Somervale, General Manager?
Yeah, through you, Mr Chair. If any councillors have got any questions, I'm willing to take those. The first one there is the levels of service report. Noel could probably provide an update on this, and I know Noel and Ben have been working on this with the metrics and the ID data forms. You want to provide a quick update on that, Noel?
Yeah, so it's pleasing to say we are continuing to move forward, even though it's been a little bit slower pace than we had anticipated, and that was mostly because of the heavy involvement of our support group in the Chartis area. They're the ones that are doing all the development. So coming out of our first trial period, trial forms that we had generated, they've changed made serious changes to the app to incorporate lots of the information gathering and exchange of gathering, so which has been really good. So now they've got a very good platform for us to roll out those forms. They're actually coming down tomorrow to run through with our second forms, as well as us reassess and talk to the boys about our pilot forms that we had started. So it's starting to get good momentum up now.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of works, a lot of learning, and that app is actually being rolled out and available to other councils as well. So we've sort of led the field in what we've done, and that's going to be rolled out for the others. So that's why they've taken that point of ensuring they've got a good, secure platform to work off. It does do all the things that we're asking for. So we will now start rolling out the second form, which will be our service requests. So that takes on calls, and that way now we can actually start generating and producing forms that cover a verification of our levels of service that the council has been, that has initiated these forms to come through.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. That's
good. Can I just ask, how is it being paid for or funded?
It's being paid from our maintenance agreement, so it's not a special project.
Okay.
That we, because they are going to be rolling out to everybody else and making it.
Well, that's what I just picked up. Thinking, are we paying for everyone else to get some free technology?
Yes. So that's a good thing and a bad thing. So we don't really have. If we were paying for it as our own project, yes, there was a lot of pressure that we could apply.
Yeah.
But because it is part of a maintenance agreement.
Yep.
The workload that they're putting into it is structured for them not to be disadvantaged.
I was worried about it.
Well, it'd be good to be able to say we're leading the way with not only levels of service commitments, but reporting against achievement of.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is where this started 2 years ago.
Yeah. So Ben, is there anything?
No, just through you, Mr. Chair, the report back to the field guys are very excited because they don't have to do a paper now.
Excellent.
One of the operators said he had great delight in ripping out all the bundles of pile from his shelves where he kept all the forms that he had to fill out, throw them in the bin and never look at them again. He was very happy with that because it's now got potential to put everything online.
I'd keep a backup copy just in case the phone dies one day.
Oh, that won't happen. Technology doesn't do that. But no, it's well received.
So they're just the service requests of forms though, in paper form.
Was from the HydroCheck, through Mr. Chair. The first stage or the first phase of the development was with HydroCheck. We had a straightforward process where it was one action with several functions or points after that. So you go to hydrant, you do your location, you do your checks, you do your cleans, you do your spray, you do your mushroom specification, check that's fine, and then move on to the next one after that. So I had to get that process through while incorporating the safety of the take fives, and also have a look at our current forms, how we relate the current data that we've done for the past couple of decades, transfer that over into a mobile platform, and get the operators used to that sort of technology. But also the other side of that application is that it added benefit of taking the XYZ coordinates, the georeference points of your asset, and then get that raw data transferred over to a central point or to a server. And that's when I come in through the operations side with the asset management, say, right, we've just put in a new hydrant, or put a new lot of pipe, we've put a new valve, or every single point that we're putting into our network, we can record where it is down to half a metre with accuracy, and then from there, review it, log it into our network. So we're still working on that side of it, so on a triage or inbox. But the important part is the data. We have to get the data collection right. If we don't have the data, everything thereafter is irrelevant.
Yep.
And that's the key part, and that's what I'm trying to put the operators on. You guys are the key operators in this process. If we don't have this done right first time, and if it's not user-friendly, there's no point in doing it.
Yep.
Simple as that. So we've got a multiple points we're trying to work.
Yeah, so this system's going to improve all of that, really. Yes. The reason I asked the question about this, about the paperwork, the paper throwing out, I'm assuming that none of the information that sits on that, in that paperwork, is A, confidential, is required to be stored for 7 years or anything like that. I'm assuming that it's just operational stuff that's not... not required to
all
be.
That's has been taken
or all that information has already been transferred. Yeah, excellent. Yes. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's an important thing because we did have a few years ago a GIPL request where there was an incident at a hydrant actually in Canoundra, where they wanted the inspection records for a considerable period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to go through the actual books and get it, so I can see that being a big advantage, and that's something that could be, you know, if there is an incident, then we need to go back to that report.
So we have that, we still have that ability, despite all that being thrown out.
Through you, Mr. Chair, the completed forms and the data have been collected, yes, that's been maintained, that's been kept as required under the guidelines and our policies. Mm-hmm. That's one of the references I was making, is the blank forms, the piles of blank forms, and it's just there, that's what
I'm
talking about, sorry.
Okay, all right. That's good.
Don't have to
dance. Yeah, good. The next one I think we're going to talk about a bit later, and the next one we'll talk about a bit later. And then the last one was the data breach policy, which we'll discuss later as well.
Next one.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll put that. All in favour?
No.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's carried. 12.6, which is the data breach policy, cybersecurity policy, and legislative compliance policy. The recommendation there is that council note the minor changes to the draft policies and adopt the data breach policy, cybersecurity policy, and legislative compliance policy.
Yeah. Through you, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to say that we attached the tracked changes in here, and they didn't actually print in info, council. So we do have a copy of the track changes available here for councillors. They're very minor. They were the changes that were requested for by the ARIC committee when they went to the ARIC meeting in early June.
No, I thought that was good.
So they're very minor changes.
We're just following what we're required to do, the minor changes that are required.
Very minor. The basic thrust of the policies and the extent of the policies and the scope of the policies are unchanged.
Are unchanged. Yes, that's what I felt too. Is everybody happy with that?
Yeah, I couldn't find the changes, but I now know why.
Yeah.
On the legislative compliance one, which we talked about briefly at the last meeting, I raised this point that I guess... it's still an issue. On the face of it, it covers compliance with common law requirements and contracts and funding agreements. When you get into who's doing what, it's just focusing on legislative compliance.
Correct.
Yeah. So whilst the policy on the face of it covers arrangements to make sure we're complying with all our common law contractual and funding obligations, that particular part of the policy is not really allocated to anyone.
Well, we do have a contract management policy that covers management of contracts, so that's a separate policy as well for contract management.
Well, should this therefore not cover contracts?
There's no reason why council wouldn't be complying with its contracts, but that's subject to the contract management policy. Well, if you want to strictly exclude those contracts and want to take them out, contracts and planning agreements or even common law. I think you raised the issue of common law previously. Council somehow raised that issue. There is no reason why council wouldn't be complying with common law, and the expectation would be that council would comply with common law.
I agree.
If the question is whether it should be part of this policy, then okay, we can take it out if council so desires.
I don't think it should be in this policy because it's covered elsewhere. And once you put it in this policy, you need to sort of, in the detail, allocate responsibility for contractual compliance somewhere here. But we don't need to because we've got another policy. So the fact this applies to contracts and funding agreements and things like that, it seems to duplicate with the contract policy.
Oh, I think that's referring to the legislative contents within those contracts, make sure the contracts actually conform with the legislation and so on, rather than the actual contract itself. But
I raised it last time, yeah. It's still there. Mm. There must be a reason for it still being there.
I'm happy to say, though, that I see this policy being updated a lot more frequently going forward, or not frequently, but looked at quite as the data and digital space evolves. I think we're going to have a lot of new laws.
Mr. Chairman, the reason this policy came about was a recommendation from the Audit Office of New South Wales, which came through in a management letter. A number of councils, and I expect that your constituent councils have got a similar policy. In this regard, I would expect that each constituent council would have a similar policy, and this is something around governance that they actually wanted. They wanted us to actually have that, and basically, it comes down to the ARIC committee. Basically, also wants to be advised of any non-compliance, which is quite fine if there's any non-compliance or compliance issues. But if we want to take out those other matters, I'm quite happy to do that. If that's the council's wish, we can do that, and we can adopt it on that basis, and we can note it in the resolution.
But you don't agree with taking it out?
If you wish to take it out and you don't want the scope of the policy to cover those specific things, expressly take them out.
I'm asking you whether you think it should be out or not.
Whether I think it should be out. Basically, it depends on what, I suppose, how you want. If you strictly want this to stay with legislative compliance, I would say take them out.
Well, I
if,
think
if that's,
that's what it says. It says legislative compliance policy, and the whole thing is basically directed, except that it outlines that it's in fact wider than that. I don't think it should be wider than that.
Okay, that counts. We'll take it out.
Okay. Well, can you highlight the changes of the wording that's there that we can.
Nominate
as an amendment. Make an amendment?
Just it's simple. First line of introduction, Central Type of Court is committed to compliance with all
statutory and statutory common law requirements.
Just delete and common law. The breach of contract is a common law thing. Statutory requirements, you could put regulatory compliance. Regulations are not statutes, so it could be statutory and regulatory requirements.
Sorry, can I ask
whoever we're reading? In the introduction, page 39. Right at the top of the page.
Oh, sorry, I'm on page 18. I'm on the first policy.
No, no, so it's the third of those three policies.
I can't read it.
It's the last one.
It's the legislative compliance policy.
I was on the wrong bloody page. third policy, not first.
Yeah.
That's it.
So it's in the introduction to that, Central Tablelands Water is committed to compliance with all statutory and common law requirements relating to operations and governance of council. Councillor Somervale is putting up an amendment to remove the words and common law. And
inserting and regulatory.
And inserting and regulatory. Are you so moving?
Yes, and secondly, further down that page under scope, delete the words contracts, comma, funding agreements.
Both of those.
Both of those.
Both of those, contracts, funding agreements.
So it reads, covers compliance with Commonwealth and state legislation, council codes and policies, and relevant standards.
Now, you're wanting to make that change because contracts and funding agreements are covered by another policy.
Are covered by another policy and are not, in fact, covered by the detail of this policy.
Okay. I'll take your word for that, being a lawyer.
Well, I can show you, if you go down to positions and responsibilities,
yep,
that all talks about legislative compliance, not contractual compliance. The governance officer responsible to maintain the legislative compliance register.
Okay, so we might have to just get that wording correct then. That the legislative compliance policy exclude reference to the common law and insert the word regulatory in its place.
Yep.
And the other one is
delete the words contracts, comma, funding agreements
under the heading of scope.
That under the scope. That the legislative. Yeah, sorry, I'll have to do this.
Can I just ask a question on that though? Because councils' codes and policies aren't legislative either.
Sorry, councils.
Councils' codes and policies aren't legislative.
No.
So if you're taking out that because it's not legislative.
Well, that's a good point, and compliance with those is not here. I wanted just to restrict the amendments to the minimum required to deal with the, you know, what I think is the fundamental overreach of the policy. Compliance with codes and policies and standards. Standards, for example, the drinking water guidelines is a standard, and it probably should be covered by this policy.
So that the legislative compliance policy in relation to scope exclude reference to
contracts and funding agreements. Contracts, comma, funding agreements.
Are you writing that it's going to be the words and excluded, or are you just taking them out of the policy?
I'm just taking the words out of the policy.
They'll be changed. They'll be taken out of the policy.
Yeah, no, just when you were writing, I thought you were going to write and exclude.
Yeah, I am writing to exclude them, yes.
But the end result will be they will just be removed, not correct. Words and excluded,
yeah,
coming up.
I could put, instead of the word excludes, I can use the word remove.
Yeah.
Councillor Best?
Instead of changing policies on the fly, just bring it back next month. There's no hurry.
Yes, there is, because it's got to go in the it's got to be done for the financial statements, doesn't it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Is Councillor Best correct? Does it need to, on noting that the next meeting will be during caretaker period, so we can't be making, there are some decisions we can't make.
These are big decisions, really.
You should be able to still adopt this policy.
Adopt the policy?
During the caretaker period. Okay. For this policy, it's more if you can't sign up to large contracts or appoint a new GM or extend a GM's contract. I think with policy, you can still do that in the caretaker period.
But I think we'd just get it done.
Yeah, I'd just get it done. I mean, it came up as an urgent last minute item last meeting.
Yeah. And I agree with Councillor Somervale, if it's a legislative compliance, then It is legislative.
It's a straitjacket.
Legislative, yeah.
We've got the policy. We don't need the policy to be, the scope of the policy to be far wider than it needs to be.
Well, it says covers compliance with state and Commonwealth legislation. So it covers initially all the things that we're taking out.
I'd be happy to delete council codes and standards as well.
Yes, I think so.
I was just limiting it to what I thought was the glaring overreach of the policy.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, I think the idea of the policy is to provide assurance, certainly to the ARIC and then to the board in relation to these matters.
Yep.
And that's how it's been framed, and that's what the view of the audit office take on it. So that's the driving point on it.
Yep.
If council has a code or a policy or whatever, that they want some assurance that council has followed that policy. So that the legislative compliance policy in relation to scope removes reference to contracts and
funding agreements.
Is the wording that's there, is that the wording provided to us by the audit office, or is it?
Mr. Chairman, the audit office. The audit office don't provide wording for policies.
Oh, okay.
They just recommend that you have one.
Have one, okay.
That is Summer Parks. Plus, there's other. I think there was Sydney City was another one that we used to show. Is that?
Yes, that's right. Privacy Commission South
Wales. Yeah, and some information came from the Privacy Commissioner as well. Yeah, in terms of how that.
So did the RLG one have those words in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the important thing is we have a policy. Of secondary importance is the policy doesn't create unnecessary burden, and we acknowledge that here, where we say somewhere that we've got limited staff. Limited staff resources, and senior staff have to pick up responsibilities for tasks that are routinely undertaken by the engagement of separate officers. We don't have the people to do it. Therefore, we should restrict this to what's necessary to comply with our requirements, and not might be in the city of Sydney.
Mr. Chairman, what we've got to comply with is the requirements of the audit office to make sure that they've got assurance that we're doing that area, and we've actually acted on that recommendation. In a timely way.
Yep. Will these changes change that position?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, I don't believe they should change the position. The other thing is these have actually gone to ARIC as well, and these issues weren't raised by the ARIC committee as well. They didn't raise any concerns. They just said to make sure the emphasis on the fact that you report to us if there's any non-compliance, and that's obviously their concern. So it went through ARIC. There wasn't any mention of any issues with it. And I think I did provide Councillor Somerville. I think I did provide you with some information about it, and I did actually show the.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did actually respond to you, and I gave you the recommendation. I think from the from the audit office as well, which I think you'd got anyway in your position as chair anyway.
Mm.
So you'd seen it previously. So.
Yeah.
No, we'll. We'll make these exclusions and we'll adopt a policy with these exclusions.
I'm going to change my mind, I think. Well, no, I'll just listen to what's been said, and I get what you said originally. It's a legislative compliance policy, and we have the lawyer in the room who would know that. But what Shell just said and what Peter just said is this has already gone to ARIC, and it's the OLG's model policy. So why are we changing it?
It's not the OLG's model policy.
It's the Office of Local Government Legislative Compliance Calendar and Information and Privacy.
That's the calendar is used as the basis for establishing the tasks under the policy. The calendar of compliance actually says and gives you a timeline for doing certain.
Yeah. Okay.
The wording of the policy itself, I think, Peter. It started off with the parks policy, and then we've adapted it from there.
Mm. Yeah, and it's possible Parks doesn't have a separate policy related to contracts.
They do.
Okay.
I take it as the pub test, what we're saying is that under our legislative compliance policy, we're going to abide by everything that's in laws, in statutes, in contracts, and in funding agreements. I don't really have a problem with saying we're going to agree with what's in the requirements.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, basically over all of this, just to give some reassurance that if there is non-compliance,
yeah,
and you know, if you're late with something or something happens, that it's noted, and that there's a record there of it and the reason for it. And as Councillor Somervale has pointed out, we're a very small organisation, so this is going to create an onerous requirement on us to do this. It's not something that's going to take 5 minutes. It's going to take a considerable volume of work to keep it up to date. Remember, we're building it day from scratch.
Yeah.
Mm. So we haven't got one to... So we're going to build it from scratch based on that policy. So as we go forward, we'll look at the calendar, particularly the compliance calendar issued by the OLG, and we'll tick those things off.
Yep.
Or otherwise, we may not tick them off in some cases. There may be a reason that it's late or something's happened. Or has there been an oversight? Or whatever. Mm-hmm. As you say, there's an awareness that that's occurring. And obviously, you look at it from a risk point of view as well. It depends on the nature of the non-compliance as to what the implication is.
Mr. Chair,
I'm just trying to navigate my way through all of these ideas. By keeping that terminology in there, and common law, and also contracts and funding agreements, does that massively change or increase the amount of workload, or is it just a duplication of what we already have, and therefore it's like a catch-all? We catch it.
Well, through you, Mr. Chairman, basically, with respect to common law, the expectation would be that CTW would comply with common law in the course of its operations. It would comply with common law.
So we don't necessarily need to state
it. Doesn't have to be expressed,
yeah,
but certainly would be implied that there wouldn't have to be an exceptional set of circumstances where CTW did not comply with the common law of Australia,
mm-hmm,
or common law of the state, or whatever. That's the expectation. That's, you know, everyone knows that when we to do everything from a day-to-day point of view. So that's, if you want to take that out, I don't think it materially changes it, because the expectation is that CTW would comply with the common law in any case.
Mm.
I suppose, for me, where I go with that, the difference between legislative and common law, or regulation and common law, is that if a case comes up in the future where a court makes a decision about something, that then becomes the common law. Am I right in that?
Yeah, common law. That's how common law comes about. I mean, it's the torts, negligence, nuisance, contracts, breach of contract, that's all common law.
Yeah, but I suppose where I'm going is legislative is what regulations and rules and things like water management and drinking water standards that we would be following.
Exactly.
Common law could be one case that's in...
It's a broad...
Yes.
It is just expanding the scope of it.
Yes. So I'm happy to take the common law bit up, because I think that's actually opening ourselves to some case somewhere that could be totally not in our playing field, but it changes a situation. If we're following regulation, then we should be, as you say, CTW would be following that rate.
That's legislation and regulation are easy to know what you've got to do. It's all written down. It's easy to know what you've got to do. For example, this policy could go on to say, these are the pieces of legislation which we as CTW have to comply with.
Yes.
And there'd be 50 of them.
Yep.
So at least you know the scope of the things we're looking at and making sure we tick a box that we're not in breach of any of these things we're supposed to do. It's not easy, but it's clear.
So I agree with that. Changing that back to statutory is what we would be looking at. That would come across staff desks is well known. I suppose it's the second part is taking up contracts
and funding agreements.
A bit where we're still...
If we were going to give an assurance to the audit committee that we're complying with all our contracts, then the procedures which are annexed to the policy, Central Tablelands Water Legislative Compliance Procedure, should have a whole section in there with contractual compliance, which we've got on another policy anyway, by the sound of it. The person responsible for certifying we're complying with the procedure would have, every contract we entered into, would have a summary of our obligations under that contract. We've got to do this by this day, and we've got to do this, and we've got to do that. And it would list all those things so you can go through every contract to make sure that we're complying.
The way I read it, and again, Mr. Chair, sorry, I'm not saying through Mr. Chair, but I just have many of them probably. I read it as the spirit of the law. So this is asking us to be compliant, and in the spirit of doing a good business, being a reputable business, we're going to apply by all the rules and regulations, including what's in our contracts and our funding agreements. I think what you're going to, and I could be wrong, but this is what I'm hearing, is the contractual, which is the very minute detail in each contract. So I think this policy is about the overarching, the spirit of the law, whereas the contract management is the detail of each contract. And that's just my opinion of what.
Well, particularly as that section there is about the scope of the, which suggests to me that it's more of an overarching view that we are following.
What's in our contracts? What's in our funding agreement? Yes.
Exactly, which is a little bit different to our current contract policy, which is a little bit more detailed.
Yeah. It certainly is. Through Mr. Chair, we have a project management methodology, project management policy as well, which is fairly detailed. And I think Councillor Somervale said it's, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it was over-engineered, I think was the term that you used.
Yeah.
So we're certainly going to look at that, going forward as well. But that is the nuts and bolts detail of how you manage a contract or a project. But I'm quite happy for the board to take it out. I don't have an issue with it. Take those two things out. And this is very much, as I say, this is the first one we've ever had.
Yeah.
And we're kicking it off, and maybe it needs...
This has taken up far too much time than it should have. I think this is a pretty simple thing. Let's make this a legislative compliance policy. Let's not broaden the scope more than it needs to be. Because if it is going to cover contracts and funding agreements, then the procedures under which we're going to follow to make sure we comply with the policy need to be expanded to cover how we're going to make sure we're compliant with our contracts. And they shouldn't. I don't want them to. They shouldn't be restricted to legislation.
Okay.
Anyway, I won't say any more. That's my view.
I think you'd like to make the amendment.
I'll move that amendment.
Move that amendment. Those two amendments. Could you read those out?
That council... that the legislative compliance policy exclude reference to common law and insert the word regulatory in its place.
Yeah.
And that the legislative compliance policy in relation to scope remove the reference to contracts and funding agreements.
Yep. Okay, right. So that's, you're moving that amendment. Could I have a seconder for that?
You can probably do that.
I'm happy to second it.
Okay.
I don't mind the change. So we'll put that amendment. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Yep, looks like we've got... Councillor Best has also agreed to the amendment. Can I then put the original motion, which is to accept and endorse those policies, I think adopt those three policies, with that amendment to the... third one of those policies, which is the legislative compliance policy.
Aye.
Is that acceptable wording? So can I have a mover for that?
Yeah.
Councillor Somervale, seconder? Councillor Best, are you seconding? Yes. Okay, I'll put that.
Aye.
All in favour?
No.
Aye. Carried. Thank you. Moving to 12 points.
The fund policy.
Sorry,
He's always got his good take on what's happening in the world.
What's that?
12 policy next.
12.7 financial matters. The investment report, the recommendation there that the information in relation to council's cash investments as of at 31st of May 2024 be noted. Could I ask Director of Finance and Corporate Services to comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. From a broad economic point of view, the big issue lately has been the GDP figures, where the economies are really starting to slow down. So there's some concern that we might, the terms used, that you could get a hard landing, or a hard landing is basically a recession. Many businesses and people out there and wage earners and whatever are starting to feel it pretty difficult at the moment. The other issue with that is they've got this term now called GDP per capita, because we've had massive amounts of immigration. People are saying there is a recession now, because if you remove that population impact, then we've had negative growth, you know, for the last, close to the last 12, 6 to 12 months. Mm-hmm. By the same token, inflation's pretty high. Mm-hmm. And you would have heard probably the Reserve Bank Governor yesterday, she made a decision at the Tuesday meeting to yesterday's meeting not to change the interest rate, so she's basically left them the same, but she's made it clear, pretty clear, crystal clear really, that if inflation spikes up again, she wouldn't hesitate to raise interest rates again, which is really the fear for a lot of people at the moment, that interest rates rise and the commitment is, particularly to service loans, is going to become very, very, very difficult. So this has sort of put the financial markets in a bit of a flux, because they thought there would be interest rate reductions towards the end of this year. And now that's quite uncertain, and they're talking possibly about an increase or no interest rate reductions till probably 2025 or late 2025, mid to late 2024. So it's a bit hard for people in the treasury departments of the banks at the moment to work out the rates they're going to offer people, so they don't really know where interest rates are going to go and what's going to happen. So
particularly for longer term.
For longer term, we work on the 12 months part of the curve, and it's getting more difficult to get really good rates. We were getting rates, you know, 5.5 or above, but now if we can get a rate above 5 or 5.2, it's pretty good. So basically, things are in a bit of a sort of a flux at the moment. There's a lot of uncertainty. And many of the economists have said there were going to be cuts this year, now backtracking pretty quickly with their forecasts, and saying, you know, now it's going to be later into 2024. So basically the market's pretty tough at the moment, but working on the 12 months part of the curve is still, sometimes you can get, they do offer for shorter periods. If the institutions have got a short-term liquidity issue, they do offer good rates for a shorter period, but we haven't really done that unless we really need to fill a gap in our profile, maturity profile. We try and spread them out so that we've got cash flow over the course of the year in case we need funds for some special project or something unexpected arises. The other thing is, in the quarterly budget review, I've increased the estimate for interest income, because it has basically stayed a bit higher for longer than was expected 12 or 18 months ago. So I've increased that estimate again as well, so that's reflected in the QBRS as well.
It's
so
an extra $80,000, I think.
That's an extra $80,000, which is
$80,000 there.
It's a pretty good result for us there.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's basically, so.
And we're not currently borrowing any money, are we?
No, we're not borrowing any money, yeah. Mr. Chairman, at the moment. So it's a bit fortunate in that regard.
Yep.
So, but our cash flow is pretty, pretty solid at the moment. We still have a few outstanding water debtors, some hardcore ones that we're trying to negotiate through. But every council has those. And we've just got to work through and try and work with those people the best we can, and work with our debt collection agency to try and recover those, or come to some arrangement that's sustainable. But that is, there is an element of now that's, you know, they've been debts for quite a long time, so we're sort of working very hard in that regard to try and collect those difficult ones.
I think I got an email from a water debtor, I think Millthorpe Way, copied me on some correspondence with you. Has that been sorted?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. I won't comment on individual debtors in April Council, but that matter has been resolved and the debtor has paid that amount.
Good, thank you.
Thanks very much, Peter. I'd just like to make a quick comment, and that is that I very much appreciate and enjoy your investment commentary, because I always learn a little bit more. But it's very clear, and you've got another job waiting for you as a commentator on one of the news channels. another Kochi, or is it Kochi, or whoever it is, all over the...
Nick Cola.
Through you, Mr. Chairman.
Cola.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. I did have a little bit of a cartoon about inflation and and what have you, and I did show it to Michelle, and I said, I don't think I'll put this in a council report. It's... maybe not the right session. Thing to do, so I took it out.
Yeah, send
us
through email.
Yeah, we just listen to you. We don't need to listen to the reserve bank.
That's right.
Well, interesting though, I was going to say, on my lovely drive over this morning, whatever station I was listening to, and they had a commentary about interest rates and reflecting on the reserve bank, and it was, well, ours are quite low at the 3%. The States is at the 5 and 5.5. The UK's are at the 4s.
Mm-hmm.
And when the way I interpret it is our market expectation is let's get the rates down to get more mortgages to keep the property boom going. Whereas what I was listening to, I think, was we're 2% below other world economic places.
Other central banks, yes.
Other central banks, and that's why ours are, possibly going to go up, because we've still got that big gap between us and the other countries.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, basically they have said that our high interest rate, it's currently 4.35, and it's not high by historical standards, but it's not high enough, it wasn't increased quickly enough, and get to a high level to really try and reduce inflation. The big problem with inflation at the moment is the services, you use this term services inflation, which is your rent rates and things like that. And that's really been very strong, and trying to control that as well, particularly with some of the, there are some wage agreements that are sort of feeding through the system as well. That's proving pretty difficult. But I will say for the Reserve Bank Governor, she's very succinct, and she seemed pretty determined in she has a position, and she seems pretty determined that she will follow through, and she wouldn't hesitate, she said, to raise interest rates, which I thought, with the economy sort of, I'll use the term, spluttering along, that's a pretty brave thing to say, because potentially that could cause a lot of unemployment and potentially hard effects.
But that's not their charter.
Correct, it's inflation that's their charter, the 2 to 3% target rate.
They have only a couple of levers to pull. Well, look, thank you very much. Any further comments on that item? I think it looks pretty good. Our investments are in good hands.
Did we get a mover and shake on that one?
I think we did, didn't we? Oh, I'm sorry. A mover.
I'm happy to move it.
Councillor Cook, Councillor Somervale. So the recommendation is the information be noted. All in favour? That's carried. Thank you, Peter. We'll move on to the next, which is, the QBRS. So item 12.8, the recommendation there is that Council adopt the budget review statement for the quarter ending the 31st of March 2024 and the variations therein be voted. Could I have a mover?
Aye.
Councillor Cook, seconder. Councillor Somervale. Sorry, Peter, you didn't put your hand up quickly enough.
Paul.
Mary.
There's Peter, Paul, and is there a Mary in there? We have a Mary in the room.
Probably people of the age wouldn't understand. Some
people wouldn't understand that one, Peter, Paul, and Mary.
No cost, just a minute.
Yes. The report from Director of Finance and Corporate Services.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman. This is basically not a... not too bad a result. We picked up a little bit of income basically with our connections, and we did do a job over in in Grenfell where we did the project management of the sewer pipeline, and we're doing some water work with Memory Street and Phil Aston Place over there in Grenfell.
I did read that with
you. So that sort of helped us a bit. We've got a bit of income there. And we've got a few...
And made a profit on the job?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was done concurrently with the water main extension that was done over there, so it worked out pretty good. And our connections have been not too bad lately as well, so there's been a few new applications. As Ben would know, he does the quotes, so there's been a bit of activity there. So basically we picked up a little bit. So overall, the operating loss before capital amounts has come down by 190,000. There's also been a small saving in wages because of the late appointment of the project management position, which was appointed late in the year. So we saved a little bit there. And the extra 80,000 of investment income, which we previously discussed.
Mm-hmm.
That's been it's not a bad result. Our water sales are pretty much on target for the revised estimate. We did the last lot of bills for the April quarter. We did those, and they're pretty much on target. So hopefully the revised, that we should be able to make the revised estimate. We've got a few monthly accounts to do before we have a final figure, but it looks like we'll get to our revised budget or very, very close to it there. So the other thing with the capital budget, there's a few amendments there of various things which I've basically itemised in the variation sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, we've still got a bit of capital work to do. There'll probably be some carryovers, as we generally do. That'll come up to the August meeting of council. The other thing that I just want to mention is I've done a little bit of a... This is my own sort of design, so I apologise for the way it's sort of set out there in the... But hopefully it's... Is someone understanding it's something that the councils have asked about is to show the trend in your restrictions, how you're targeting your restrictions, whether you're on target with your restrictions or not. So I've done a little bit of a reconciliation there to our cash balance that we've got on the 21st of May. Mm-hmm. You'll see that the unrestricted cash figure is very high. That's because we've transferred out money into the capital budget for this year that has not been spent as yet, or is in the process of being spent subsequent to the March quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there will be some carryovers which will affect the reserve balance for carryover and so on. But it just shows that we've got pretty healthy unrestricted cash there. And our reserves are sort of pretty much on target. Overall, we did pick a little bit up at the end of last year also with those reserves. So when I did the budget for 23-24, I didn't have the 30th of June figures. So overall, our reserves are still reasonably sound at this stage. We're also in the process of doing the final acquittal. Noel's working on it at the moment, and we've maybe finished now for the Carcor 12 meg res.
Mm-hmm.
There is an amount due back, I think, of around $468,000, is it?
Correct.
It's due to come back. We're hopeful of trying to get that back before the end of the financial year, so we've got that finished off. So that'll come in, and that'll help our cash position a little bit as well. But overall, it's a reasonable result compared to the previous quarter, compared to obviously to the original budget. It's not that great. We budgeted for a surplus of 46, but we're still projecting loss of 491. But it's certainly better than the 678. Or the 681, sorry, that we had revised previously. So our trend has been good. It just, we had a very slow start to the year, wet start to the year, and we haven't been able to recoup those water sales back as planned, although we did get a pretty strong result for the June quarter, so which was the April read, so it wasn't a bad result for us. Obviously, we've had a little bit of wet weather since, which means we may get a slow start this year, but it's very, as the chairman has often said to me, it's a very difficult thing to to estimate and how you do it is very hard sort of methodology to do it with a great degree of certainty, because there's a large degree of uncertainty with it. But overall, it's not a bad result. And I think, you know, the annual financial statements should reflect that. Maybe we could save a little bit with our materials and services as well. So hopefully we might come in with a slightly better result than that loss than I'm reporting yet. But I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Peter. I just, as I mentioned to you before the meeting, obviously your report starts with your opinion that our projected financial position as of the end of the month will be unsatisfactory, which is as
compared
to the original. Yeah. And you've identified why that is, and then you've recommended some remedial action to deal with this unsatisfactory position, and there's a whole list of possible things that we need to consider. In your view would be the best option out of those, or options?
Well, we certainly had to review the level of future borrowings in our long-term financial plan based on our available funds for the 10-year projection, so that's something we have to sort of look at. We reviewed our fees and charges, and we changed the mix to give us more resilience in our income base with our access charge, increasing our access charge, exceeding the increase in the usage charge for the first time for many, many, many years. So I think we're taking steps in the right direction. Over the last few years, we have made the hard decisions with respect to pricing, and, you know, we've been able to try, we've recognised that we need a certain level of income to try and renew our infrastructure, and that's really the driver of the whole situation is the infrastructure,
yep,
through basically the depreciation charge and the need to have funding for the replacement of that going forward. So I think we've had a look at the fees and charges, but obviously we'll do that again when we do the budget for the following year. We try and defer expenditure if we can. Always difficult with expenditure. The organisation's got to continue, and I have these discussions with Noel as well. The organisation's got to carry on, so we need to obviously look at our expenditure and whether we need to spend money. And I do sometimes ask Noel, you know, do we need to spend this, or, you know, did we need to buy this, and what options did we evaluate at the time? And we obviously get into considerable dialogue about it at times, but certainly it's something that we're conscious of. But we've also got to maintain our level of service as well, and that's something we're really, that CTW has put itself on, having a really a high level of service and having a high level product that we provide. So it's a difficult one to answer in terms of a single thing, but I think the most important thing going forward is, you know, with our fees and charges, we'll have to be aware of how we're tracking, and whether we can we might have to be, you know, sometimes brave with our setting of the fees and charges to make sure that the organisation has got enough funding going forward for the next decade, or next, probably, you know, next 25, 30 years. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, Mr. Chairman, it's going to be easy, but I think we're aware of it, and I think the board's aware of it, and it's certainly something we can discuss with the new board when they're elected in October,
yeah,
as well. And maybe a workshop or something.
In fact, I think that would be a great idea. One of the first things that we do is have a workshop with the new board and discuss these sorts of long-term issues and the structural integrity of the finances. I'm assuming that some people on the board are going to be relatively possibly new to council and council finances, which are, as we all know, convoluted. So a workshop would be a wonderful idea.
And that would be good for the new GM as well.
And I suppose just on that, what I'd like to suggest is looking at other sources of revenue. And I know Pete's gone. We go, no. But like...
Oh, water skiing on Lake Roland.
No. I'm thinking more along the lines of water tanks.
Water tanks.
And I know it's, you know, we're providing the water and that, but for me, and again, this is just an average consumer out there, if I know CTW is providing water in the region and I need a new water tank, I'd like to go to CTW and say, can you show me what I need to buy? You know, and it's just a different source of revenue that might be something really easy to do.
As in rainwater tanks?
Yeah.
Then we lose revenue.
Well, no, because if I'm not in your system already.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Because we have a lot of farms and a lot of things like that. If I'm going to, I need water, I'd prefer to come to CTW and say, what do I need to do in this situation?
We'll provide you with the water to go into your tank.
Yes, but that's sort of like those questions. Are you going to say something?
Sorry, through the chair, it's just like a consultant service. So if we go to the people outside of our network, we go to a farm and say, all right, well, if you want this type of water supply, you need this tank, you'll need this piping, or you need this pump, or you need a supply, or health quality, water quality standards, to achieve that, you need X, Y, Z.
And also, you know, go the step further, that, yes, definitely. And the next step is, you know, is it a thing like a retail business of tanks?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we can make, so, you know, so much on each tank, and we're selling.
My suggestion would be to bring that up at the workshop.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, that's the sort of things that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, look, I think all GP councils are doing the same thing. How can we earn extra cash? Because we're cash strapped. I mean, compare city councils to rural councils. Mm-hmm. So many city councils have got extra revenue just from car parking.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get access to that, so we're so dependent on either grant funding to do anything major, any sort of infrastructure.
On grant funding, yesterday's announcement in the budget was another $200 million for infrastructure to go with housing.
With housing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Infrastructure to go with housing. So I think that's the second thing
we need to
be looking at, and how we...
Well,
it's coming this way.
Potentially. For any workshop, what would be good to brief the next council with is the outcomes of the strategy workshops that we held. Paul may have been on the council then, probably the only one where we had a series of future strategy workshops because of that very issue.
Yeah.
And there's a list of potential strategies to adopt to increase revenue, to, you know, all sorts of things. That would be useful output from those.
Priority one is more.
They were facilitated whole day sessions talking about the strategy for future strategy for CDW, given its financial constraints and so on. Yeah. So try not to reinvent the wheel. There's quite a lot of material there.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we were also talking about it in that workshop the other day with the population growth figures.
Yeah.
They were talking about that.
In the interest of moving along, if there's no more discussion, Councillor Bennett, did you want to say something, or were you? The recommendation there is that Council adopt the budget review statement and to vote the variations therein. Any further?
Yeah, the water loss investments we're making. 158,000. That's already been committed or spent, is it?
For you, Mr. Chairman, we're in the process. Noel can speak to that. He's actually working on that at the moment. It's a grant component and a component of our own money.
100,000 of our own money,
And there may be opportunities, Noel can elaborate, to actually get more a greater grant component through the JO. So we may be able to save some of that money. But if you want to speak to it now,
through the chair, the grant funding finishes at the end of this financial year. There have been applicants for the grant that may not be able to make the grant application availability for the end of the financial year.
Good.
As part of council's resolution to allow us investing our own money in materials, we will be putting that expenditure for materials forward for the JO for any So we're not handing back any grant funding, that we will be able to take advantage of that if other areas are, if other councils are not able to cover off.
I guess my main point is that we've committed to spending the 158 already.
Yeah, 58 has been invoiced.
Yeah.
And that the materials are either in the workshop or in transit. As
yeah, so that's the 58, not the 158, yeah.
So the additional 50, there was two 50k add-ons to that. One was to cover additional materials, which was when we looked at the including the outflow of all of our reservoirs. So there was an extra 19 or 14 additional metres that we added on to that. So it is those materials that we have put into play now, and hopefully we will add that into our grant application to make that available. The other 50 grand is for the additional telemetry sites that we need to put in, the actual installation of the metres. So part of that grant funding is it only covers for materials. We have to put in-kind donations in for the installation costs for them. So those installation costs would be additional telemetry sites, as well as the installation of those meters and the connection to get that information through our telemetry back into our office and have those reported.
Mr. Chairman, the net effect of this would be the grant received may exceed 58,405 if these additional changes that Noel's indicating, and the amount that we have to put in will reduce accordingly from 100 back to...
Yeah, but whether we get extra grant money or not, we're committed to the 158.
We certainly are at this stage based on that. Yeah. And that's the program that we've got up and running at the moment, working on at the moment. Some of that may be carried forward into next year or so.
The installation costs will be. We have pushed forward with trunk mains as a priority, and we have got the high pressure ones through, because that will give us a higher value of getting on top of water loss in a quicker time frame. So because of the high pressures, there's going to be a lot more water loss through a break. And the finding of that break that we can save if we act on it a lot quicker. So that's why we're looking at the high pressure first, and then we roll out as part of our water loss overall management these additional meters to ensure that we're monitoring the outflow of the reservoirs that we can then coincide with our billing period for that township of which that reservoir is providing water to. To look at how much is in that billing period usage over one quarter and look at what has left the reservoir in that one quarter. So that will give us a good value of what our water loss will be.
Yeah, one other thing, sorry, to prolong a little bit. We've taken some money out of what we were going to spend on the sealing the access roads into the new reservoir and so on, and we've using some of that now for resealing the Blenny. Do we still have enough money left to finish the resealing or whatever we planted, landscaping and stuff at Karkor?
Yes, so the landscaping that we're looking at Karkor at the moment is firming up the batter that we had to cut into to give us a wider access area around. So we're putting up retaining walls around there, and we're doing some landscaping activities in that as a tidy up point. We are not looking at doing any further tar sealing in those areas, noting that the council has now provided us guidance that using that Karkor site for a new Blaney water treatment plant replacement. So instead of, we'll maintain that as a heavy haulage road to be able to undertake the building of the new replacement of Blaney water treatment plant. So we've taken off the table to do the tar sealing around the tank, and we'll leave it as it is.
Leave it as it is.
Until...
Which has enabled us to take some money to spend at Blaney.
Which is how we split it out, in that. Okay.
Okay. Okay. One final thing. All this extra unrestricted cash, should we be restricting some of that into the infrastructure reserve?
Certainly at the end of the year, we'll certainly look at that. Mr. Chairman.
No, he's not chairman.
Councillor, I'll have it die hard.
Indeed. It's almost deja vu, isn't it? 1 year to the next.
If there's no more comment, I will put the recommendation. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Carried. Thank you. 12.9 is the IPNR, I believe.
Yes.
Yep. You've got a planning recommendation.
I move that.
Sorry?
I move the recommendation.
You move the recommendation that we resolve to adopt the following draft plans. And the seconder from Councillor Best. I think everyone wants to move on.
No submissions.
No submissions. So the... if there's no comment, no other comments, Councillor Best, there's no comment from you. No, I think I'll put
Mr.
it.
Mr. Peter.
Sorry?
The comment is thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council, for their, we had a workshop on it. We workshopped a lot of things. So I know the Chairman and Councillor Somervale, I think it was here actually, wasn't it?
We did
workshop a lot of issues, so we had an opportunity to go through it there, and I thank the Council for their support of the plan for 24-25.
Yeah, no, thank you so much.
And I suppose at the same time, our General Manager, who is, it's passing, you're leaving.
That's it. Yeah.
Yes. We have a mover and a...
Yeah.
We did. We did.
Yes, we did.
Yes, okay, I'll put that. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, that's carried, thank you. 12.10, the operational plan, making of fees and charges, the recommendation.
I'll move the recommendation.
Again, this is we've workshopped these, gone into a fair amount of detail and discussion about these fees and charges. And the recommendation is that the following charges, I won't read them all out, they're in business papers. That they be commenced on the 1st of July, and that in accordance with Section 566 of the Local Government Act, Council charge interest on overdue water charges at a rate of 10.5% for the 12-month period commencing 1st of July, and that all remaining fees and charges be made. Yeah. Do I have a mover?
Yep.
Councillor Somervale, the seconder was Councillor Cook. Any discussion?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, this is a procedure that you have to make your fees and charges each year. It's a formal procedure requirement under the Act.
Yep.
So basically, that's as per our revenue policy that we've adopted with our operational plan.
Indeed.
So it's in accordance with that.
And it's a formal procedure.
You can actually, it's called making the fees and charges.
Okay.
It's called what, sorry?
Making the
fees and charges.
What are those?
Be made.
Local government.
Remaining fees and charges. Be made.
Voting money.
Be made. Yeah.
With a making. K.
That's the wording in the Act. That's the wording in the Act, actually. That you make them, yes.
All right. On that note, I think lunch is due. I'll put that recommendation.
All right.
All in favour?
Aye.
All right, that's carried. Thank you. 12.11, Audit Risk and Improvement Committee. There's five recommendations there. The Council receive and note the ARIC minutes of the meeting 8th of February. Council adopt the ARIC terms of reference that will be effective from 1st of July. The Council ratify the appointment of the position of Director of Finance and Corporate Services as the Internal Audit Coordinator, effective 1st of July. The Council ratify that Councillor Cook be the nominated representative on the selection panel for the appointment of an additional independent member of the ARIC, and that Councillor Nash continue as the Council representative.
I apologise to the Council.
On the ARIC until the end of this term of Council, noting that role is now non-voting. Peter, would you like to comment?
Mr. Chairman, this is basically the new regulatory framework required to have any terms reference for it. It used to be called the committee charter in the past. This framework is basically, Councillor Somervale is probably familiar with this one. The terms of reference are very much in accordance with the Blaney Shire terms of reference, and that was done that way to try and have alignment between the three participating councils that chair ARIC independent members, to try and get a consistency there. So basically we've done that. I apologise for the minutes for the 8th of February. They're quite late. They were missed. I missed putting them in at the April meeting there. There was a few points there that the Intendus was going to continue as our subcontractor work for another 3 years. They went through a tender process. They've moved some of the auditors, subcontract auditors around and so on, so a bit of a change. We were fortunate to keep Intendus. Hopefully that then for the next 3 years. We're still working on the health risk assessment and the project management audit. We have made some progress there, and we did put a report up to ARIC about that at the 5th of June meeting. We're still working through those. In relation to superannuation, we're actually participating in the local government New South Wales class. They're engaged independent accountants to seek a class ruling so that the industry knows exactly where it stands. At the moment, it's a complete messy situation where some councils are paying it, some are not. Some back paid it to a certain period of time, some didn't back pay it. It's we just want the guidance. Basically, the ATO is the regulator of superannuation. The OLG doesn't regulate superannuation. The fact they've got it in their recommendation, in their regulations, is that we've got to consider it. We've considered it, and we feel like a lot of councils in the state that we should actually seek the experts' advice and get a class ruling so the whole industry can then have some guidance as to how to move that issue forward. It may mean that at some stage we may have to back pay superannuation, which is, if that's the determination, that's what we'll do. It's not an issue there. And the draft gives some benefit support if it was reviewed by ARIC at that meeting. So basically that's what it is, Mr. Chairman. The terms of reference is basically, as I say, based on Blaney. It's basically in accordance with the model terms of reference that's issued by the OLG. You've probably seen these or similar at your constituent councils, very similar.
Yep.
They're pretty pretty much the same in many respects. And that's just so that we can outline the members' responsibilities and the responsibility of councils in respect to the committee and so forth. One of the big issues for us is we've got to get a third member, and Councillor Somervale and Councillor Cook are actually on the selection committee. It was decided to have a representative from each council to go through the candidates, and I thank Blaney Shire Council, particularly Anton, for his help there. He's done a lot of work in that regard to get to this point, and hopefully, I think you said you've got a meeting shortly. Hopefully that we in a position to make an appointment pretty quickly in that regard.
Was for our third 30 applicants?
Yes, I saw
You're kidding?
I saw that.
30?
I would actually like to have a little bit of a discussion about that with this council, as opposed to just the ARIC selection. But is this a good time?
Does it need to be confidential?
Yeah, that's maybe over lunch.
I'm happy to do it over lunch. If it's relating to an appointment process, it probably should be confidential.
Yes, we're happy to discuss that.
It's not necessarily
confidential. It's more giving me some parameters to work with.
We comment about that many times, giving you parameters.
So I'm happy to take any questions. The only issue there that I didn't mention was that the council representative becomes non-voting under the new terms of reference. There'll be one audit committee meeting, I think it's the 7th of August for us, which is an online meeting. That'll be the last meeting of the current term of council.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't spoken to Councillor Nash as to whether she's comfortable to continue for that meeting. I've made the assumption there that she's comfortable. Yep. And obviously with the new board, we'll then, at the first meeting, we'll appoint will appoint our council representative in that role.
Thank you, Peter.
I'm happy to take any questions if anyone's got
any. Any questions? Councillor Best? No? Okay, look, I'm happy to put all of those recommendations. All in favour? Councillor Cook is moving.
Yep.
Councillor Somervale seconds. I'll put that.
Yes.
All in favour?
Aye.
That's carried. Thanks so much, Peter. Sorry, I thought I did.
So are we finishing this or doing work first?
No, they're coming in 10 minutes, it'll be right. So which page are we up to?
86.
It's a fair way down now.
Yep.
86.
Six.
Thanks. Okay, talk. Thank you. The Lake Rollins Catchment Management Plan update, recommendation that Council notes progress regarding the development of Lake Rollins Catchment Management Plan. Could I have a mover? Councillor Best, second. Councillor Cook, Director of Operations and Technical Services, Dots.
Yes.
Mr. Dots to you.
Thank you, through the chair. Look, we're progressing with that catchment management plan. We've had a couple of early phone discussions and video conferences, but it was pleasing that Water New South Wales brought a team of 4 people out on the first 2 days to go through, actually have a look at our sites, get an appreciation of what we consist of as far as our, not only our catchment, but also the implementation of how we use that catchment as part of our filtration and delivery of drinking water to our consumers. So that was, travelling around, letting them see, basing on the map that I have attached in the second page, which highlights how much of a catchment area that we really do have and how much control we have under our fenced area.
Mm.
So, and the multitude of the different inflows that come through from that catchment into our Lake Rollins dam. So the third day, the first 2 days was all about CTW providing information to Water New South Wales, but the third day was all about Water New South Wales providing information to CTW about the ways and the means and the hows that they are preparing to implement assistance for us to generate our own catchment management plan. We had the chairman take the place of our general manager, who was unavailable for that day, to be in that workshop time. And I do make note of a Mr. Stuart Naylor, who started off, I think, with his statement that he was employed for 6 weeks some 24 years ago to generate a management plan for the Greater Sydney. 24 years later, he's still
there. He's still doing it.
Still doing it still improving it. And they did provide a lot of slides. Everything was done under a slide show generation, which was really easy to follow. I think the input of that slide presentation of Stuart Naylor was very impressive, and the key points that we took out of it as far as CTW, and I'll certainly allow the chairman, who was at that meeting, to put his comments forward, but it's not just about CTW and how we control the system. So it was a much broader aspect. Our catchment management is a multitude of areas, and land management outside of our control, and I've implemented in that little drawing our fenced area, which is where we say we do have some sort of control, direct control, but the upstream sides and that part of the catchment really drew an emphasis that we need to take this outside of just CTW, and certainly working with associations with Blaney Shire Council and the actual owners of the lands of which you can see our catchment is derived from. So it was a really pleasing, it was great knowledge, I think, that was transferred through. And I certainly note the chairman's belief that we're actually adopting a plan or being able to generate a plan that's in tune with what the chairman was first was initiating when he's put forward this plan for CTW. So it was really pleasing for an outsider looking in to say we are actually working hand in hand in trying to generate something that is what we initially started out to provide. So with that, I'm more than happy to pass it over to the chairman.
Yeah, look, I totally agree. Thanks, Noel. Yeah, I thought the workshop was excellent, and Stuart's presentation was very good, giving a bit of background to himself as well as that. The key to his point was that this is the first step in a better engagement exercise with the landholders in our catchment, and it gives us the opportunity. And he was presenting experience from other catchments that he's worked in. That by doing these catchment management plans, you are engaging with the community. It becomes an engagement process. So what may come out of this will likely be perhaps even a workshop or a public meeting in the catchment at some point down the track once we've got a better idea about catchment management. It just improves our general engagement with the landholders, landowners in our catchment area, because we don't have any control over what they do, and therefore, and the water that goes through their properties ends up in our dam. So it firms up the confidence that we might have in the quality of the water that we receiving into Lake Rollins by having that engagement. So I thought that was excellent. Yeah.
Just to further on that, it was easy to actually overlay our CTW catchment, even though it's a very smaller scale, in the way that the presentation of how the Greater Sydney Water Catchment Management Plan had evolved. So to me, it was overlaying our system using exactly the same slides, but on a smaller basis, but all the same aspects were covered off on what we believe is going to be necessary for ours. It'd
be good to get that presentation for the councillors generally.
Exactly, but I think it would also be, we actually lose a little bit by presenting the slide ourselves or looking through it, having someone like a Stuart Naylor there to present it, generated a lot out of that. It wasn't just a discussion, like he presented very well, but just,
We have, Blaney Shire has some pretty environmentally concerned citizens around Neville, and you might remember, or Gavin might remember this a few years ago, a lot of the land around here was zoned, they agitated for, and ultimately it was rezoned environmental protection. Or the other way around, I can't remember now. It was a big issue.
Yeah, went back to 2015. We discussed that briefly the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was rezoned because depending on what the zoning is, there's different rules as to permitted development.
Yeah.
So it was a big issue, and the whole thing ultimately ended up in a planning proposal on a rezoning agitated for by people from Neville. So there are groups there that are really on top of what's going on.
There are swampy meadows in that area which feed directly into our dam, and that was where they were concerned about. Mm-hmm. And another thing that is going to have to filter back into the business plan for the raising of the dam wall is the impact of the higher lake level on some of those swampy meadows, those swamps that there are. Is there going to be species in there, I don't know, frogs, whatever, in there that have a that are potentially threatened by that. So part of the reason why I wanted to have this catchment management plan done was so that we could understand the impacts of that, not just for our purposes, but in just general engagement.
Okay, no, it's a great initiative. Yeah. And one question, you've marked out the CTW fenced area, which I didn't realise, but it goes upstream from the Neville Road.
Correct.
Yeah.
Does it really go all the way up there? That I didn't know either. I must say I've only just noticed that.
I thought they were just private landholders up there.
Yeah. So Durrington Bridge, so Neville Road, Durrington Bridge we're talking about.
Yeah. But it goes beyond that?
Upstream
of Durrington Bridge.
Yes. So if you have a look at our leasing agreement, say with Crosby, I think it was, that we've engaged with, they are upstream of Durrington Bridge on that Neville Road.
Mm.
So,
so it used to be Graham Whitehead as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where
he's now sold, but that property there. Yeah. So that's quite a lot there. And there's looks like quite a lot of land which is fenced in by our fences. But it's leased back for grazing.
Mm. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Our lunch appears to be ready. I'll look for a minute before we move on. Any further comment on that?
No.
No further comment. Thank you, Noel, and thanks to everyone who attended that discussions with supporting New South Wales. That was excellent. So, recommendations, Council, note the progress regarding development of Lake Rollins catchment management plan. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye, that's carried. So, we'll move on. Now, what does everyone want to do? Do we want to suspend the meeting briefly while we have lunch? We've got a few items. At least one confidential, isn't there? And how many further have we got? There's a few more items. No, I think we will suspend and then go on, if that's all right with everyone. No, you don't want to do that?
I want to go through it quick. It's okay. No, that's fine.
No, I think we'll suspend. If that's all right, and we'll come back.
Certainly.
Yeah. So, meeting is suspended 1:15. Actually 1:17.
Aye.
Everyone in favour? Sorry, Paul, are you happy with that? You happy just to have a bit of a break? You're happy?
Yes, I will, mate. Yeah. I'll give you a call beforehand.
Yeah.
I'll send you the link.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Michelle. Well, time is 1:53, roughly. Is that right? 1:53. We're returning to our board meeting, CTW. We're up to item 12.13, which is the sub-regional town water strategy update. The recommendation there is that council note the update report for the sub-regional town water strategy. Do I have a mover? Councillor Cook, seconded by Councillor Best. Noel, would you like to have a quick word about the sub-regional town water strategy?
Yes, okay, through the chair, thank you. So first of all, I'd really like to thank Gavin for our general manager for being the first person that would be part of this strategy. So he's done an awful lot of development in it and association with the other councillors. And so Gavin, you're going to be surely missed, and it now comes back to me. So thanks again, doubly. Yeah, good.
No worries, Noel. You keep it going.
It was an important part of all of the strategies. This one was tying together the Orange, Cobbon and CTW in trying to continue with providing the best strategy as a regional aspect rather than individuals. So there was many workshops that were provided. The project manager is trying to keep a the momentum going through, and the update progress as is listed. The next part that we're engaged with is now looking at groundwater sourcing. So CTW, of course, has got Goolagong bore as well as Quandiala bore. So the involvement for CTW is to assist with that groundwater analysis, and they will start, that will also blend into the overall aspect of this project, with trying to come up with how we can interconnect between our different local government areas to give us the best result for keeping that potable water flowing through under emergency conditions. So it's a continuation of how we've gone. It has been dragged back a little bit for certain reasons, but it is progressing, and hopefully we'll start getting some more inputs and getting some further development that we can actually start getting some assessment for CTW as itself, as well as then for the region. So continuation of analysis first, of gaining that information to provide for that analysis.
And just through you, Mr. Chair, to add to what Noel's just spoken about, I sat in on, Noel wasn't available, but I sat in on the latest working group meeting held a couple of weeks ago. And as Noel said, the next step moving forward, they've appointed Chris Jewell to undertake the groundwater assessment. But with this, and as Noel mentioned then as well, this project has gone longer than what we first anticipated. There's been delays, but with those delays, obviously, there's been reasons with. We had the floods at Yagara, which held up, which restricted our resources, and also Cabon. So that held up a significant amount of time in progressing this project, because obviously the first part, or the major part of this project, has been the data collection from all the three separate councils regarding their systems and water resources and so forth. So. And I apologise for that too, from Central Tablelands Water's point of view, as in we've been restricted with resources to provide that information. So there has been times where we have held up some of that data collection, but we have done the best we can, and we continue to do that in providing that information going forward. The pleasing thing is with this project, not only we're making progress with all the three councils, but also the funding agreement initially was up until I think the end of this financial year. And the state government realised this. It's not only our project, but there's a number of other projects that have been delayed due to resourcing issues and so forth, that they've extended the grant period now, the finalisation of that grant agreement, until the 31st of December 2025. In saying that, the project with we've got the project consultant Chris Devitt, we're not relaxing now because of that extension in the funding agreement. We're pushing forward, as you can see in those project completion dates that that have been projected out or estimated. So, I think this is a great project for CTW, especially it ties in and aligns with obviously the Blubula Water Security Project, our CTW Western Main Artery Project, and also other various projects. The Blaney Water Treatment Strategic Workshop we had the other day internally. This all ties in, obviously, with the region and with CTW moving forward, having that jewel in the crown being Lake Roland. So, watching this from afar, but keeping a close eye on it with great interest. So.
And you sail down the Rhine.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, and then some. This is going to go on a bit longer than that. How long are you going to be sailing down the Rhine?
Well, thanks for September.
Look, thanks so much for that, Noel and Kevin. Look, I hope this. I think this particular project is one that's pretty important because it provides that regional focus, and I mean, obviously, we'll dovetail in with all the other, like the Lake Rollins augmentation, the Blubula project, we will dovetail in with that as well.
to provide a much better sense of the regional need, with changes in population, changes in climate, and also potential changes in the customer base across the board. So this particular project is really aimed at getting that grid pattern of utilities across the whole of our region, to enable us to move water around in different ways, different times, different clients, and also under different levels of duress. So it's a pretty important project.
So just through the chair, the most important part that I can see is there's a lot of investment that CTW is placing upon the replacements of our Trunk Main A, Trunk Main B, Trunk Main C's. We have a branch here of Trunk Main U that flows up into that direction. There's possible interconnections. What sizing of the pipes do we need? All noting that we're coming to a point where the next 100 years, which is going to be the life expectancy of our pipes, we need to take into account all of the different data gathering that we can have.
Yeah.
And as we have already seen, it's not one group looking after itself. We can't survive under the, if I can make the terms, climate change, conditions that is developing right across our region. We are all under this, we're too close together. We are all going to suffer from the same problems. So having the ability now to do all of these different projects, everything will feed in from the sizing of our Blaney Water Treatment Plant, sizing of Trunk Main A, sizing of Trunk Main B and C, sizing of a Trunk Main U. So the more information that we get, especially with the interconnections of our pipelines, and I'll also make note of the Centroc pipeline that we've got on the table, which is the Forbes, Parks and Goolagong. It is central for CTW to provide the best outputs as we can, not just for ourselves, but to assist with our other regions. So.
Thanks, Tom. So I'll put that we note the update report. All in favour?
Aye.
Yep, that's carried. Thanks. 12.14, performance of council systems. Recommendation that council note the information in the report. And a mover?
I can do that.
Councillor Cook, and then Councillor Best seconding. Okay, any comments, queries?
Yeah, the mains breaks.
Yes.
Maybe it's a different reporting period. There's 11 of those there.
Yes.
And then when you go down through each individual town on the system, which I found only one mains break.
So the townships that we're controlling is the breaks inside the town itself,
whereas
the trunk mains aren't counted in that report.
Okay.
These are the individuals we've tried to break them apart.
Yeah,
okay. And the reports that are generated out of the activities of the service activities is what's being reported
in the town
into the office or after hours.
Yeah.
Rather than we finding there's a break ourselves. Okay, so it's the reporting function that is what the service activities is about, and the mains break is something that's separate. But they do, somebody can ring in and say we've had a mains break and we report it as such.
Right. And the other thing was, when we're comparing how we're going against the benchmarks, which are the 2017-18 state median benchmark. I thought surely there must be something new, and I looked up the state mains breaks indicators, and there's one for
22-23.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Ah. And the good news is the median is now 12.35.
So we're well under.
Not nine.
Rather than over.
We're
but that's the good news. But the bad news is the mains brakes, the sort of national indicators, of a number of brakes, bursts and leaks in transfer mains and reticulation mains per 100 kilometres. So whilst the figures are higher, it includes leaks.
Yes.
I did a... they've got all this information. I just printed this out based on similar size utilities with 4,000 to 10,000 connections, and we're doing pretty well. Moree looks like it's leaking.
Looking like a sieve.
Badly. And we're doing pretty well here. Mm-hmm. But it may well be the others include their leaks and we don't. I don't know. So the point I'm making is 2017, 2018 is really way out of date.
Outdated, isn't it?
And I don't think we're comparing like when we compare ourselves to... I mean, even if we include the leaks, and I counted up 17 leaks or something,
yep,
or more than that, we're still under the 12.3, but it's all a bit out of date.
Correct. And this is the importance of us having that information from our asset management side. So as we know, we're looking at the trunk mains as part of our end of life. So of course, as things do become through end of life, you're going to have more and more breaks and leaks that are associated with that. And we are also moving forward with our reticulation renewal. So there's been a lot of work done on our Canandra area. So that's going to drop off those aged AC pipes that has been part of our reticulation system in the initial part of the reticulation, I should say. And then our planning to increase the priority for the Blaney area to ensure that we get better traction on the mains renewal within the key townships of the Blaney LGA,
yep.
That will also assist in reducing the number of these. So, yes.
And certainly some of the main breaks that you have mentioned there, you'll have a much better eyesight on any of those with the new telemetry for
water loss management. Correct. Yes.
So, yeah, we'll probably get to those quicker than previously.
Correct.
Potentially.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And whilst we look at the replacement of trunk main A, B and C, well, let's look at B and C, our main artery ones. Mm-hmm. They're the high pressure ones that we have. Everything else tends to fold uphill a little bit. So the bottom, the most pressured sites are around the Canandra area. Mm-hmm. So the benefits that our water loss management, implementing this, the investment that we're putting forward now, will probably help us in the next 10 years to keep that water loss to a minimum, whereas our program of replacement of the mains will be through, which is the major part of that is within our next, I think, 15 years, Peter. So we're probably going to get the best benefits out of our 10 years to get on top of those quickly. Mm-hmm. But then as we start renewing those trunk mains, it'll lessen the need of water loss management and it'll just be a tool to identify the smaller areas of leakages. So the efficiencies that C2W will gather out of that water loss management will assist in two ways. First of all, keeping us through for the next 10 years, but then giving the benefit of that for the rest of the 20, 30 years of life to have a baseline.
Really good, thank you.
I'll give that to you now. That's the latest.
Thank you.
Mains breaks per 100.
Yep.
No, national average 4.35.
Yep.
And if you add our leaks to our breaks, I reckon we're at 11.5. So even adding leaks in, we're under.
For an asset base of coming up to 70 or 80 years, I think that's pretty good. That must be taken into account when we look at
this. This is actually the point I was going to make, which is that Peter keeps telling us about the need in our long-term financial plan for replacement of our infrastructure. We do have a lot of aging infrastructure, and yet we have a pretty good set of numbers when it comes to leakages so far. So if it was infrastructure that was falling apart, like there are other council areas who shall remain nameless, where infrastructure is falling apart and leaks are terrible, our situation is considerably better by comparison, which is good. If there's no more comment, we'll put that. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Yes, it's carried. Thank you. 12.15 is maintenance of council systems. Recommendation, the council note the information in the general report. Now, Noel, would you like to speak to that report?
Yes. Look, this is again just a note of how we're going with our maintenance systems. This would be a good one for the council to review. I know we looked at loss of service, which is going to be a good implementation of seeing how we're going. This is a really, how can I put it, a generic report to council. But it would be nice if I could get some input with the councillors of moving this one forward too. I think it may be outdated. Yeah, so look, it'd be nice to generate similar
Absolutely.
To in the same vein as what we looked at our levels of service.
Yeah.
So look, this is just reporting our maintenance to go through. Of course, we're always going to be caught up with priorities that are coming through. Mains breaks is one of the biggest ones. Mm-hmm. So, you know, taking away, I believe the intent of this report was all about making sure that we had those, we were able to do maintenance to ensure that we got the best levels, asset life expectancy levels, which is what we're working with. But when we start competing and we're going to be doing a lot of project work, which is part of our next 10, 15 years, our maintenance can suffer because, you know, unless we go out to full contract for the replacement of mains. We've always tried to do things internally. There's good intentions in doing it internally. My apologies for drifting off what this report is about, but just to give you a bit of a background, you know, when we set priorities, we've always been able to do our mains replacements internally. We get good lessons learned. You get the staff understanding of how these pipes are laid. They're the ones that if they don't lay it properly, they're going to have to suffer the consequences. It's a good lesson in learning to ensure that these are put in properly and people get good experience on them. So balance that against doing a full maintenance program and making sure everything is done properly compared to investing into the time of our staff by not going out to contract to undertake capital works. I think there's a balance in there that we need to look at. And whilst we continue to look at priorities such as obviously a water filtration, if we go back in previous reporting, you know, there's been the add-on where I've put on associated ancillary plants, so there was a bit of weakness in that we identified, just to give a better coverage of things for the councillors. But it is fairly generic. I would be more than happy to try and generate something a little bit better that would be able for the councillors to get a better understanding. But you know, we're moving along as best as we can. I don't see any, you know, we haven't highlighted any areas that are concerns for us, but it is a pretty generic type report. So
I don't have any problems with the report. I don't have, and having a continuation of this style of report or something equivalent to it that covers the same thing. I mean, it's really to highlight that maintenance is occurring. There are no major issues. If there are any issues in particular things, like for example, drinking water quality, if there's been any reported instances exceeding, you know, those sort of things, it's nice to know that is continuing, that we're getting you know, information back to say that, you know, everything, all of the systems are working appropriately. I don't have a problem with retaining it, but if we can, with the new system with internally reporting, pumps out a different set of information in a different way, which is a little bit better to report, fine, I'm happy to do that. As long as it's the same information.
My idea is dashboards and things like that, I think. We've gone away from, as you can tell with the majority of my reports, I like to add in a map or I like to add in some visual rather than the words. So if the council, and I suppose I'm forwarding this to the new council will come through too. Yeah. It would be nice to have that review because we're just plugging numbers in there. And if there's anything that needs to be highlighted, it'll be highlighted, of course. But
well, if it's just a matter of a digital system populating an output, which we then see each board meeting, I reckon that'll be more than enough with a bit of commentary about any change from what would be expected, what would be normal. Okay. I think would probably be reasonable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we'd call it variance analysis, wouldn't we, Pete? In an accounting system?
I think where I'm looking at is let's have a look at our staff as an overall and what percentage of our staff is being used for maintenance and what percentage of our staff is used for mains breaks and look at the effectiveness of our staff, I suppose. To me, that would be a good indicator that we're moving staff to try and support a cost control for capital works, which is what we try to do. But have that as one of the guidances in here, you know, that we've utilised 80% of our staff on maintenance and 20% on this.
As long as that information, as long as that information is
easily available.
Well, easily available, and also, you know, if it affects a strategic decision that the board needs to cover, otherwise, that's the purvey of the general manager.
Yes.
To determine that sort of mix.
I think it's more of an input that I'm looking at, especially with our ID forms and our metrics. In we're going digital, let's get all that data out so as we can split it apart to provide that statistical data. And having that, like I've got my own thoughts of it, but as I said, the more that we can get information coming through of our workloads and how we're doing it and rolling it out, that information for our percentage of work capacity, especially network and water quality staff, our outdoor staff, I think that gives us a guidance of where do we invest in better. So can we invest in there's a cost in doing a lot of project work. So if we're going out to an outside contractor, that's costing us more than us doing it internally. And looking at those balances for us to give council an understanding of, yes, we can save money, but we're going to drop off on an area here in maintenance or, just a better understanding of how we can manipulate our staff availabilities or whether we need to go for, let's say, 12 months or 2 years of investing in on additional staff to keep the cost down, but build up for a short-term engagement with additional staff.
These two reports, the previous one on performance of this maintenance one, they've been in exactly the same form since I've been on it, 10 years would have been. I think that must have been a Darryl Slider, this is how I'm going to report to the board.
Yep.
And they'd probably be going back 10 years before that. The one that really meant nothing to me originally was the performance one, because we had all these stats and they came to the board. And I thought, that's all very interesting, but is that good or bad?
The benchmarks.
Hence the benchmarks, and hence that's moved on. That's becoming fantastic. This one doesn't worry me quite as much. I think it's really up to you as to how you think you should be reporting to the board. You could do a monthly report on maintenance issues and capital issues with a separate report where you need to get council to support a strategic initiative or to vote some extra money for something, whatever it might be. That's a separate report. But there could just be an ordinary monthly or bi-monthly report on maintenance and capital projects and how things are going. This has been like this forever. It's a bit more than maintenance. I mean, drinking water quality is different again. So I agree with you where you're suggesting that maybe the whole way this is reported needs to be rehashed in some way. Totally understand that. This has been going on for a long while. Things have moved on. Technology's moved on. The way we operate's moved on. And maybe we do need to report it a bit differently. But I'm not in a position that other councils to sort of dictate how it ought to be reported. Some idea that there's a different way I'd like to do this, that'd be pretty welcome.
And again, I'm just bringing that forward, opening it up to the councillors to put a little bit of thought in it, because the advancement that we're going from a hard copy-papered forms coming into the office, going into the digital age and having that information, whilst we're structuring these forms, if we can add that extra value that council may think they need, here's a good time to do it, to put that into that generation of those forms, get some statistical data out. So and it's all about setting up for the next generation coming through. We're implementing something, but it'd be nice to provide something. If the councillors feel that there's something that they would like in it, please feel free to have an input. But I'm just pointing out this one. We tend to run through them fairly quickly. It's important, of course, but if there was something extra, and as I said, you're looking at our staff, looking at our percentage of how we can balance out for things, I see competing things where we can look at good cost savings, but it's going to take away the staff from doing other things.
I mean, ultimately, this is providing us with a range of information, some of which is not related to a decision that we would need to make at any particular time. So the information that comes to us ultimately needs to inform a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And is the information going to inform that decision, or is the provision of that information going to change that decision? That's the ultimate determinant of what information ends up here.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing more information than less information. I'm happy to sit through the numbers, read through all the numbers and have a look at the numbers, because that gives me assurance that I can see the whole board. I can see the whole picture. Doesn't mean that I've got to make a decision on it all, but at least it gives me some level of education about how the operation runs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the operation is done through this guy.
Yes.
Yeah. I like seeing as much information as possible. But we can discuss. Well, but the next board will discuss.
Yes.
I totally agree that if there's a better way of doing it, particularly with new digital systems, to do it in a more automated way, in particular, with getting a few stats up indicating the direction of things and whether or not, as Councillor Somervale was saying before about what is good or bad or indifferent, that's a really important thing.
Mm-hmm.
The actual physical numbers sort of meaningless without that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for me, this report, I'm looking for red flags.
Yeah, exactly.
So reading it and saying, no, there's nothing reported, then it's...
Oh, no, that's... As I said, we're moving out of the area of hard copies. We've got good traction, we're really moving forward. We're actually setting, to me, the pleasing part about it, we've created an area now that others are looking at.
Mm.
So it's nice to be on the forefront.
Yep.
So having the ability then to marry that into what possible requirements that the council can see additionally, it's a good time to involve the council as in what else they would need. I know with Council Somervale, We've gone through the forms of the system checks and things like that and enhanced those to you. I see that's, we've broken that down into townships, which is really good to have, seeing what the issues are to towns, even though we feed it from the same water treatment plant. But there's a lot of differences in there. So, but all I'm doing is opening it up. That's the report. It's very basic.
Mm.
If there's some enhancements that you consider could be to assist, more than happy to look at those.
Thanks for that, Mark. Is this no more further comment?
No, just need to move around a second.
Did I not do that again? I'll get there eventually, guys. Apologies. So, Councillor Somervell, Councillor Best, looks like he's waving his hand down there. I'll put that all in favour.
Aye.
That's carried. Thank you. 1216, which is the Water Loss Management Initiative. Can I have the recommendation is the council note the information report. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Cook, seconded by Councillor Best. Thank you, Councillor Best, down there. Yes. Noel, would you like to quickly speak to that?
We had
a bit of a discussion about it before.
Correct. So flowing on from previous reports, especially with our financial reports that PEEK provides, so just to give a little bit more clarity around how we're going on this. So the funding for this Water Loss Management Initiative, the actual funding grant closes off at the end of this financial year, which is fast approaching. I think we can talk about days now rather than weeks. So we're trying to align ourselves in to ensure that we get the maximum amount of benefit from any funding that's available. We've been concentrating on the installation part is done on our high pressure systems rather than on our low pressure, so we can water loss will suffer more water loss on our larger mains under higher pressure than we would in reticulation mains under the lower pressure areas. So it's all about setting out the priorities. We have been able to purchase the meters, even though they're very close to the end date, but which is very pleasing. So we can now provide that invoice to the JO to gain that $58,000 that we have been allocated. Plus, we've also, as I spoke about earlier, we've put ourselves in a position to add an additional invoice to cover off on another fairly large sum, and if that grant funding is available, then we can take advantage of that as well. So hopefully I can start putting some values in on the diagram that I put forward and see some actual values starting to come through on those in the next month. Or certainly before the next council meeting.
Thanks, Noel. That diagram was prompted in a question. So looks like it's fairly easy just to pop the meter reads, each of those meters directly into your telemetry here.
Yes, so on the green you'll see if we start on the bottom left-hand side, we've got Summers Lane. So that's a new site that we'll be putting in. So as I've identified, green is any new sites. Mm-hmm. So Cranky Rock as well on the centre to slightly left, you've got Cranky Rock. Going up to the top middle, you've got Hills. Hill Street Reservoir.
Yeah.
So there's a South. And Grenfell South. So I think there was five additional that we were looking at in telemetry sites that we could take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And also, this will give us a much better understanding. We've got progress in the different types of low pressure meters now that will give us daily totals, peak rates, peak minimum, flow rates all incorporated within that data. So, and that data will be readily available to integrate in with our telemetry to get it back into the office and have that data used for statistical purposes to cover off on things like water losses, as well as what extra additional flows or lessening of flows, different townships. It just gives us a good range.
Yeah.
And that also will incorporate into what we can do with our ID. We can do different dashboards and things like that for having those reports generated once we get them into place.
Fantastic. Thanks, Noel. Any other comments? Questions?
I didn't mark something up. Oh, yeah, budget implications. It's nil.
Councillor Somervell.
100k, including 50k grant. My point was the budget's not nil, it's something.
All right, sorry, I thought we had adopted it in the last council meeting that we can spend that money. So normally if I'm asking for more money and there's a change in budget implications, we'll bring that forward then. But once we've adopted the costs,
I don't think we ever approved that out. That's my point in relation to the QBRS. We never actually approved the money.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's been spent but never approved.
Earlier today.
We do earlier today, yes.
Okay,
so the budget implication is now nil. So the assumption there is that we had previously approved this QBRS.
Yeah. No, I think Peter realises it's not good practice to ask the councillors to rubber stamp expenditure of money that's already actually been spent.
Yes. Yes, it is not.
Have you read everything?
There you go.
Okay, if there's no more questions, comments? No, I'll put that. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye. That's carried. Thank you. Moving on to, we are up to questions on notice, item 13.
Haven't received any questions on notice, Mr Chair.
Thank you.
Can we let him leave his last meeting without something thrown in there?
Questions without notice.
No, there will be an item without notice, surely. Confidential matters. So, Michelle, if you could just switch off the mic and go back into normal recording. We need to
tell people.
Yes, we have moved out of confidential back into the normal ordinary meeting, and we have agreed in confidential. Read this one out. Yep. So that council note the report on a deed with a neighbouring property owner at Lake Rollins, and we have voted to authorise council's common seal to be affixed to the deed between Central Tablelands Water and the new property owner of Cooming Vale Neville to maintain the watering of stock on this property currently sourced from Lake Rollins. And that, I believe, is the end of the meeting, unless there's anything further. Any other items that anyone would like to discuss? No? Okay. I will call the meeting closed at 2:37 p.m.
Thank you.
And as an additional item,
is that the committee
not in the meeting, so we'll pick it off.